Father, we come to you in Yeshua's name to worship you, to learn from you, to spend time with you. Because we are sinners, have been saved by grace, we do not in and of ourselves know how to become what you want us to be. But you have shown us in your word, you have given us your spirit, you have given us each other. So help us, Lord. Give us the power, the ability to do what needs to be done, to spend time with you and with each other. In a world that is dying, it is broken and dying. In Yeshua's name. This is a second in a series of teaching on attaining maturity. This will be more like a time of, like an expansion of the introduction, sort of defining some terms and expanding the meaning of maturity. When I first got into this topic, I had my own ideas. I was talking with earlier about do the Torah reading. I have my own ideas of what it should be, but then I end up spending time with the Lord and find out it's usually something completely different. And this week I had very little time to pre-prepare because I woke up Monday morning knowing I was going to get sick because my throat was starting to swell. And by Tuesday I was like, could barely get through the day. I get home, I was tired, sinus headaches. Thursday was all I could, so it wasn't until last night that I had a breakthrough, an ibuprofen breakthrough. Yeah, God uses a lot of things. So I was able to work, and it came out differently than what I expected, much simpler, less intellectual. When I was thinking of maturity, I was thinking of these discipleship books that have all these topics about, and they're good topics, holiness and righteousness and the Jewish holidays and the Hebrew roots, et cetera, et cetera. But I realized after praying about it that it's not just what we know, but who we are. That before we can talk about maturity, we need to talk about character. And out of that comes maturity, which takes time. Now, in the world, maturity, and please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we shouldn't see counselors or doctors. God gave us that. We just need to make sure that it's held up in the light of Scripture. In the world, maturity, I have problem with the definition I came across. It's responding to an environment in an appropriate manner. This came from like Wikipedia and from Psychology Today. So I looked around. And the problem I have with responding to the environment in an appropriate manner, it could be instinctive, it could be maturity based on experience, it could be developmental. The problem I have is because our society used to be based on the Judeo-Christian heritage, but it's still run by imperfect sinners. And society changes. And eventually, as we're all finding out, you're getting to the point where the mature thing to do would be to actually stand up against the culture and be countercultural. That is what the first century believers were. They were completely countercultural. I challenge you to read a book. I don't remember the exact title. It's called How Christianity Changed the World. And a lot of the things, the institutions, the societies, that institutions, organizations, concepts that we came from, although now have been hijacked by a post-biblical society, either came out of biblical Judeo-Christian concepts, or the believers took what existed, like some medical care and expanded on it and gave it a biblical meaning. And one of the results was the believers, one of the reasons they were persecuted, because they were so completely different than the culture. And I'm currently reading a book I literally stumbled across because I wasn't paying attention where my thumb was going on the Kindle. And I ended up buying a book about two, I'm going to be oblique because there's a couple sections in the book that I came across that I'm not fond of and didn't need to be there. Two people that existed in Nazi Germany, and they both made compromises without realizing it, and they kept making excuses. Well, this will turn out. It won't be this bad. And then as time went on, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer came across the same thing. The Nazis kept turning up the heat. They kept putting the screws on people, kept demanding more. And eventually, they ended up making choices that I know it's a novel, but I'm sure it's real because we're people, is that haunted them the rest of their life. How could they become part of the SS and kill people and spy on people? And that's why I have a problem with maturity in the secular sense, because society isn't always right. In scripture, to me, maturity is based on the Lord, on Yeshua, where he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn from him." We don't know how to act in a way that God would approve of, and that's why he gives us his spirit, is he gives us the ability to act, and he gives us his word so that we know what's required of him. And in John chapter 15, what I'll do is I'll talk on various subjects. I may not get deep, but we'll get deeper still as in the weeks and months ahead. John chapter 15, verse 4, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Now, I would say from his eyes, if you're not in him, then you might as well be doing nothing, because you can think you're doing something, but if you're not doing it under the power of the Spirit and by obedience, then you're doing nothing. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So maturity is founded on abiding in the vine, spending time with Yeshua, and it takes a great deal of humility to realize that we need the Lord's help. It's something a lot of people have struggled on. We've had governors, including in the state, that can't handle that. Hitler couldn't handle it and said so. Nietzsche, the very concept that we need help makes the natural man cringe, and it's something I struggle with. I have to constantly remind myself that I need the Lord's help. The purpose of, and in Greek the word is teleos, which can be translated most of the time, and depending on the translation, is either mature or perfect. And one of the reasons for maturity is we need to see it as not just us, but it's something that we all have to attain to. And the reason we have to attain to it is because in Ephesians 4:13 it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, in Greek it means full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah. So there's one of the reasons for being mature. One of the ways, the way we do it is the knowledge of the Son of God. We get to know the Lord, and we also get to know the knowledge of the Son of God. The Lord has the wisdom we need, and that's what he told Israel, as was mentioned last week, that the wisdom of Israel was from the Lord. The wisdom and knowledge came from God, not from anything from them. Maturity in the Bible, according to Ephesians 4:13, shows that one of the roles of elders is to equip the children of God for works of God so that they will grow in faith and grow in the knowledge of God, becoming an adult according to Scripture, and attain together, not only individually, but as a group, the full measure of what Yeshua should be on the earth. Growth in Scripture is becoming like the Lord, getting to know him, growing in unity with the true body of Messiah, and becoming one body. The complete Jewish Bible version says, until we all arrive at the unity implied by trusting and knowing the Son of God at full manhood, at the standard of maturity set by the Messiah's perfection. Unlike the secular version of maturity, the standard of maturity is set by the Lord and is the Lord. He who never changes like the shifting sands of the seas. Unlike society, which also always changes, the Lord doesn't. Sometimes the mature thing to do is to be countercultural, like the first century believers. One of the things the Lord did many times the Lord had to stand up to the culture and say things that really made people mad and people didn't like. Sometimes you just have to stand up and do what needs to be done. In Romans 8:29, it talks about our destiny. People want to know what their destiny is. Romans 8:29, it says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So that's our basic destiny, to be conformed to the image of his Son as individuals and as a body, and within the confines of our individual talents, way we do things, or giftings, were to be like Messiah. And that's something I'll talk about in the future as we talk about not just the gift, not so much the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit, which are the manifestation of God in our life. That's what I look for in leadership. We talk about leadership is looking for the manifestation of God in their life. Do they act like the Lord? Are they patient and kind and long-suffering? Are they discipling people and teaching people? Amen. That's part of maturity, is not just growing in the Lord, and it's part of the problem of me being single. It just becomes me, myself, and I. I have to remember it's not just about me, that what the Lord has showed me I have to transmit to other people. Colossians 1:28. It says, in him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Messiah. That was Paul's goal. That's what he's saying to believers. Is that's their goal, is warning and teaching with all wisdom with the ultimate purpose being that everyone will become mature in Messiah. Ephesians 4:15, so speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Messiah. As I've said before, we need to speak truth to each other, not rudeness, but truth, scripture, God's truth. And sometimes truth hurts. However, many times Yeshua spoke the truth. It can be hard but necessary, and it should be done with love. Let's talk about some of the traits of maturity that come out of this. Like I said, these are more overviews. As you become more mature in the Lord, these are some traits. Becoming more assured about the Word of God and God's will for their life and the world around them. Colossians 4:12, Paul writes, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Messiah Yeshua, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. So Paul is saying that Epaphras is not just mature and training people, but he's praying for them. He's struggling in his prayers and probably struggling with people so that they may grow in the Lord. Becoming mature becomes increasingly knowledgeable about the will of God, not only in your life in particular, but in the society and world you live in. It means struggling to change. Intercede for yourself and for others that they might also know God, know his word, and know the will of God for their life. Maturity is a process of change, a lifelong process. I believe sometimes people call it progressive sanctification. And one of the problems I find as I get older is it becomes increasingly harder to change. But this is where the humility comes in. We just have to realize, even when we stand before the Lord, we won't know everything. We'll know as we're known and we'll see things clearly, but we're going to be spending eternity getting to know God. And it means being humble and realizing you haven't arrived and you never will.
Amen. Yes.
Come on now. Come on. Preaching.
Maturity means getting your wisdom and knowledge primarily from Scripture. Other sources can help, but we have to be careful that they don't contradict Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. A mature person gets their wisdom from Scripture. And that's one of the things I have to constantly remember, is that this world will pass away. The knowledge will pass away. I know a lot of people are upset because some of the terrorists are getting rid of archaeological finds. But the fact is, if you look at Scripture, eventually God's going to burn up the planet and it's all going to disappear. Everything is all going to go. The pyramids will be gone. Everything. All history of the sin of this world will go up in smoke. Yeah, and that's not to support what they're doing, but we just have to keep a sort of a different perspective on it, that eventually the Lord's going to eliminate a lot of things on this planet. 1 Corinthians 1:20, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? As we grow more mature in the knowledge of God and relationship with him, we spend more and more time imparting that wisdom to others. We also become more conscious of the temporary nature of our society. As we grow closer to the Lord, we're going to actually find ourselves, I'm finding myself using that as the standard by which whether it's worth actually doing something, because eventually I'm going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to be the only judge, and eventually what I do will become forgotten. All will pass away, eventually to be burned up and burned away forever. Which leads to the next point. A person maturing in the Lord needs to try and stay focused. I'm not saying we shouldn't go on vacation or read light literature. I do that myself a lot on weekends. I read light literature because I can't be heavy all the time. And I mean really light. Like sometimes I read like kids' books. This weekend I'm downloading some Looney Tunes and listening to some of that instead of some of these heavy movies. Watch Bugs Bunny for a while. Yeah. No. In Luke 8:14, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. We have to learn to put Yeshua first, not just first, but last and always and forever. And that keeps out the weeds of life, the distractions and cares of this world. Putting Yeshua first helps us overcome our sinful nature and our past. It's one of the things, as much as I like to read, I have to be careful what I read, or I could go berserk. If I kept, the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, I don't know how he did it. When he went home to be with the Lord, he had like 12,000 books in his library. I don't know where he found the time for all that. With everything else he was doing, and if I would have kept every book I ever read in my life, I'd probably have a few thousand. But I have to be careful, otherwise I could actually bring the displeasure of the Lord, because then I'm like running here and running there and reading this and reading that and not doing what I'm sort of like following after every distraction. One of the things I have to remember is I'm staying focused. It was something I thought of a long time ago when Billy Graham was going to, this was in the 70s, I believe, when he was going to the former Soviet Union. And I remember, I wasn't a believer at the time, but he was attacked by people for doing that. And he may not have said, I know he said some things he probably shouldn't have, and that's not why I'm here, but he knew his calling. He knew what he was supposed to do, and that helped him stay focused on his calling. And we just have to remember what God has called us to do. Put Yeshua first, and that makes it a little easier in our mind to understand what we're supposed to do. It may not make it pleasurable, but it makes it a little easier. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 16, so, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Messiah. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Messiah Yeshua, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Messiah and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Messiah, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him. Let me repeat that. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And this is where the humility comes in. Paul says this. Paul, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Messiah Yeshua has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So maturity is realizing we need the Lord, as I've said, spending time with him that we may know Messiah, as Paul said, and be found in him, and be willing to suffer for him, and be willing to give up this world so that we can stand before him, and being humble enough to realize that we'll never arrive. Even forgetting that we even have a reputation, because really our reputation should be Messiah. Amen. A mature person is increasingly able to distinguish what is of God and what is not of God. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So as we mature, we grow, and the subjects will become deeper and they'll become harder. And I find myself frequently going back to the basics just simply to make sure that I haven't strayed. A mature person keeps on learning and learning, growing as a person and as a child of God. Hebrews 6:1, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrine of Messiah and grow on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In James 1, a mature person knows life will not be easy. Oh, I forgot. Proverbs 1:7, the fear, this is where maturity starts, the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You stop learning, God calls you a fool. James 1, a mature person knows life will not be easy. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. He likes you to ask him, and he doesn't make fun of you for doing it, because we're supposed to be going to him for wisdom and knowledge anyway, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. God gives wisdom to people, but I think he also expects us to not be to work on eliminating distractions, to not be distracted by like every teaching and doctrine that comes down the pipeline, and we're like running off here and running off there. A mature person gives God all the glory because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Galatians 2:20. I know there's a lot of scripture here. Galatians 2:20, so I have been crucified with Messiah. It is no longer I who live, but Messiah who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. A mature person doesn't quit growing, but knows that the Lord will spend their entire life helping you mature. So we're not just growing, but we're helping others to grow. That it's a science that is not as popular. It shows up on public broadcasting a lot when people try and make lots of money, but it's the concept of mentoring, discipleship. I read a series of books a couple years back, these little novellas, by Michelle Stimson, the Mama Bee series. and they're small little books about a 70-something-year-old black woman from a small town in Texas. And it's a life I have didn't grow up in. I know nothing about. It was a fascinating series of books, strong woman of faith. And in black churches, they have something that isn't as common anymore, I understand, called Mothers of the Faith. And women who kids have grown, are out, have kids of their own. And so they would form committees of people that would start to disciple younger women. And that just fascinated me. And so that's part of the maturing process, is not just maturing, but taking what you know and showing other people.
It's still common when you learn black folk from yourself.
Is it? Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's not something that I was raised on. You know, in where I was raised on, it was, things were a little more formalized, you know, committees and parties and things like that. But the, from what I understand from the book, these were more informal, one-on-one or group-to-group people together. It was a fascinating series of books. I really recommend them. And I want to close with this. In Philippians, we have to remember a mature person knows that that God won't give up on them. And Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Messiah Yeshua. And that's maturity, asking God based on faith, that he started it and he'll finish it. In Yeshua's name, amen.